fuck sticks.
Sup, virgins. We're back.
We left for a while. We were gone. Now we're back. The batteries are they're recharged. Lights ain't on, though. This is the dark timeline. The darkest timeline.
It's just so much brighter in here a moment ago.
It was? Are you sure? I was busy going on about the dark timeline. This is the darkest timeline, right?
Maybe we should turn on that light.
This light? Like a fucking traitor. Grab his truck on fire. Now we're just going to reflect in my glasses.
Yeah, we can turn it off. You're right.
I think it was fine. See, look, it made no difference. I could turn it up.
You're right.
Like, fucking, they're going to be so pissed. Like, why is this, these fucks messing with
just,
the camera?
We can just restart.
Nah. Garbage truck on fire. What this is. If you're listening audio-wise, I was playing with the camera.
Did we do an audio check even? Or are we just going?
No, we're good.
It?
I did the audio check. I did the audio check. I fucking fiddled with this thing for like 20 minutes because the fucking camera wasn't working. The sound wasn't working. Not the camera and the sound's working.
Good.
It's
Should
working.
I be closer?
No, I think you're good.
Should be closer.
No, I think you're good. Mm-hmm. Like, you were perfectly framed.
Maybe I should slouch like this.
Yeah, you're the exact same position you were 5 seconds ago.
No, I wasn't. I moved my chair to the left, like 3 inches.
Oh, you moved to the left. You moved closer.
Whatever.
We're here.
So,
where my mock is. We're back. We did a thing. Dark timeline, you know. The world went to shit. Still shit. But here we are. We're talking.
And it will be shit for the foreseeable future as well. Mm-hmm. So
here we are.
We're just gonna
slightly more depressed. And, you know, Joe kept getting his hair cut, obviously. I did not. We're still here.
I'm getting it cut tomorrow.
Most likely. Like, I've been thinking about it, but it's not happening. It's not happening.
Okay.
But yeah, we hope you're all doing good.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, hope y'all doing good. We're here.
Trevor is enjoying a Landshark today, and I have a New Belgium Sour IPA.
They're good. Real good.
The camera's that way.
But yeah, so.
Tilt it like this.
Let's get a... right on
today, yeah, we thought we would review the newest Trivium record, What the Dead Men Say.
Yes.
Which came out during the quarantine era, which we are somewhat still in.
Yeah, if I was smart, I would have, like, put it up over there on my, like, shelf with all the vinyls that you guys could have seen the cover, but, you know, What the Dead Men Say, yeah.
I'm going to try and not talk and, like, fight back a burp like old people do. During this episode.
I mean, I'm going to cough out just the same. It's going to be, you know, as I like saying, garbage truck on fire. I feel like that, did that just flash? I just brought up a fucking screen. No, I think it was just the light.
It could be the reflection.
Yeah, the light threw me off.
The light, yep.
But yeah, Trivium, What the Dead Men Say. It came out... literally in quarantine?
In 2020, during, what was it, February? April.
Is it April?
April
24th. April 24th.
Cool.
It was back, there was like so many releases coming back to back. Produced by Josh Wilbur, who's produced, God, I know he was most famous recently for doing a lot of like the newer Lamb of God stuff. I think he's done the last two. He's done the Sin and the Sentence, and...
That was also a fantastic record.
Yeah, and he's done this. He's done Sum 41, Limp Bizkit. Jesus.
Limp Bizkit, nice, dude.
Yeah, Sons of Texas, Lamb of God, Wrath.
That is one of the best albums ever.
Yeah, I think he's done everything since Wrath with Lamb of God. Resolution, L'Enfant Sauvage by Gojira, The Divinity of Purpose by Hatebreed, Killer Be Killed. The Order of Things While It Remains, The Devil You Know, Sturm und Drang by Lamb of God, Fever Daydream by The Black Queen, Iron Shorter by Oni.
Ooh, that's a good one.
The Send the Sentence, Ritual, The Burn the Priest covers album.
Are we going to go through all 9 pages?
No, I'm just kind of like saying mentions or some shit. But yeah, Lamb of God, even their newest album. Yeah, so Josh Wilbur, pretty prolific producer, mixer guy, does the things.
A prolific guy.
Prolific guy. But yeah, so... What the Dead Men Say. All right, Joe, what are your initial thoughts about this album What the Dead Men Say?
Well, I had listened to the single What the Dead Men Say, watched the music video for it, and same with Catastrophist. Mm-hmm. I wasn't that impressed with it at first.
Okay.
But once I got the actual album,
mm-hmm.
listened to it in my car. Dude, I'm doing the burp thing like an old person. Yeah, once I actually got the album and listened to it in my car, I was like, whoa, this is good stuff. And let's pull up the track listing really quick just so I could get a refresher.
Right there.
Yes, so it starts off with 9 in Roman numerals. That's the,
I'm pretty sure this is the ninth instrumental album.
Track.
Yeah, ninth album, so ninth album. Makes sense.
And, of course, their instrumental track goes amazingly into their title track, as it did with In Waves.
Mm-hmm.
Just...
I think they're the same thing.
So beautiful together.
I think every time they have, like, those instrumental tracks, it always has that nice transition. Because I think the same thing happened in, what's the name? What's that first album?
Ember to Inferno. I wouldn't say that it was, like, seamless like it has been. It did pair very well next to each other, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so,
I don't remember if it actually, like, flowed into the next one, though.
It looks like, oh, what I'm seeing here, like, Metacritic gave it, what is this? An 84 out of 100?
Yeah, so... it was a very solid record. I like it more than their last one, I think I've decided.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely, like, it's hard because there's so many albums that like that kind of came out within this span.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it just doesn't matter because this one release is overshadowing everything.
However, once again, I think Trivium is kind of slept on by the greater music community in general. And, like, I don't know. We don't really have any good rock stations by us or, like, metal stations. Mm-hmm. So it's all kind of like, I don't even know what are the rock stations by us? But like,
couldn't tell you.
There's, I just know they're like
Shine FM.
No, there's 101.1 Chicago's alternative.
Is that even station, still a rock station?
But it is. It wasn't for a while, and then it went back to being rock station again. That happened, it was around 2010 or 11 that it became, like, a country station or something,
yeah.
Goofy, and then, like, Q101 came back as a rock station, and, well, rock, you know, again, I mean, it's mostly just alternative, so, like, by, like... alternative rock, they really just mean like Imagine Dragons and 21 Pilots and Arctic Monkeys. So
yeah, that's
it's, I don't know, it's not really rock. I kind of feel like Nickelback is more rock than than Imagine Dragons is, but I digress. Every once in a while they'll give you some good stuff, like I don't know why I stuttered there. They'll give you some good stuff. They'll give you a Tool song every once in a while or something like that. But or like Black Hole Sun will come on by Soundgarden. Great song. But yeah, mostly it's just not.
That
rock is kind of actually dead if you think about it. Like there's either like this fake Imagine Dragons rock or there's metal now.
Yeah, there's no like, oh, what would you consider like rock? Like, when I think of like just like rock, the initial thing that comes to my head is like maybe bands like Godsmack, maybe.
Yeah.
Or like, I mean, I can't even say Stone Sour because Stone Sour I don't even consider rock.
Yeah, they're kind of metal too. Honestly, they're just the thing is with Stone Sour is people put them up against like, Slipknot all the time,
yeah, like,
which is so.
Like,
so incredibly metal that
like
it's
maybe
like
Alter Bridge.
Okay,
Alter Bridge I'd kind of put rock, but Alter Bridge is like,
or like Chevelle, dude. Chevelle,
yeah, just like
is an amazing rock band.
That standard, like just punchy, but like it's always like 4/4 and
yeah,
yeah.
And another good rock band was like the old days with Switchfoot and the Beautiful Letdown. Mm-hmm. Like they were a good rock band, you know?
Yeah.
And even some earlier Three Days Grace stuff could be considered more rock than metal.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, there's definitely like a there's like a lack of that nowadays. Something that's just kind of like punchy in your face and not too overly complicated, not too much going on, but still good songs, good music.
Because it feels like now it's like I said, like you either get Imagine Dragons and 21 Pilots, where it's like there's guitars in it, but it's like just really just pop music masquerading or LARPing.
As, pop music LARPing as rock.
Dude, as Stefan Molyneux would say, it's pop music LARPing as rock. That or we just get the ultra chuggin' gent of like newer metal.
But alright.
Anyway, enough about all that horseshit. Let's get on to trivia.
Yeah, what the Deadmen Say. I would have to say, I think one of our shining stars of this record is the drummer Alex Bent.
Alex Bent does an incredible job here, yeah.
Like, he was phenomenal on the last record, but, like, something on this one, this was a whole nother beast. Like,
yeah.
It's, I think from what I was reading, like, the last record said in the sentence was mostly done when Alex came in, but this was the first one was written from the ground up with Alex, and they didn't really, like, try to, like, rein him in at all. They're like, dude, just go nuts. And it's probably some of the best drum work.
Wow, I need to hear these Japanese bonus tracks now that I'm looking at them.
The Bleed Into Me acoustic and acoustic.
Scattering the Ashes acoustic.
I think the Bleed Into Me acoustic is on Spotify now.
Did you know that the Japanese bonus tracks are... Do you know why there's Japanese bonus tracks so often?
No, why?
It's because...
Just because Matt Heafy's half Japanese?
No, like because even Lamb of God and other bands will a lot of times have Japanese exclusive tracks. Mm-hmm. And it has something to do with like the actual music industry where it's giving Japanese people an incentive to buy the music in Japan instead of like basically getting it. If I remember right, that's why. It has something to do with that.
Interesting.
Like, if they get it actually in Japan, it's like better for them somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Or like better for their economy somehow, so.
Huh, weird. I'd have to look into that more.
I heard about that somewhere and now I don't remember exactly. I was a lot more confident when I started saying it and then I realized I didn't fully remember exactly what it is, but
yeah,
there is a very good reason for it actually.
So yeah, Alex Bent is a monster, an absolute monster. Like, that dude has some of the most tasteful fills I think I've heard in a long time, and he's just, like, I don't know, like, there's just no other words to describe it. The dude's a literal fucking machine.
Yeah, he's super good, and they really let him shine, I feel like, on this record.
Yeah, especially,
kind of, like, let him do his own, you can almost feel his personality come out a little bit more on this,
yeah.
I feel like.
Because I know, there's definitely, I want to say it's in Sickness Unto You. There's a part where it gets like really kind of like, not mathy, but it's weird like gospel thing where he's like playing a beat and the beat also just transfers into like the toms.
And that actually is a funny thing that you mentioned because I think during my initial listens of this, I had said something to you where I was like, it does seem like on some of these songs where like, they're kind of like on their Dream Theater shit for like a minute or two, like or maybe not like an actual minute, but like there's definitely parts where like it gets mathy for a second.
Yeah, it gets a little
or hot like there. A little bit.
All right, so let's take it. Let's go a little bit.
I don't know. Okay. Couldn't come up with.
Let's take track by track. So initially, we talk about Nine translates very beautifully into the title track, What the Deadmen Say.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on the actual song, What the Deadmen Say?
Oh, it's so, like, just solid of a song, I guess. Like, I wouldn't say they do anything too flashy, but it's just, like, a really good, like, like, that just feels good to listen to.
Yeah, there's that really nice, like, tremolo-picked kind of, like, interlude where just kind of it's just going and, like, Alex is blasting behind the riff, and it's just... I don't know, it's just nice, but there's just, like, not much going on, but there is so much going on.
Yeah.
And definitely one of the more, I want to say it might be one of the catchier chorus.
It is pretty catchy, actually. Yeah.
Like, I find myself, if there's any, like, chorus being stuck in my head from this album, it's definitely What the Dead Men Say, because it's just so easy.
That one and the next song, I would say, both really have that factor. And the next one being Catastrophist, which shares some similarities in the vibe, I would say, with What the Dead Men Say. But it's a very different song.
Even not for the first, like, month and a half, maybe 2 months, that Catastrophist was on Spotify. Spotify had spelled it wrong, and it was in there as Catatrophist.
That's awesome.
I only remember that because, like, every time, like, I was watching, because it's the time we're all, like, from home, and I was, like, watching Matt's live streams, because he would live stream and play through the songs, and he would just keep referring to it as, like, Catatrophist.
That's a really Matt Heafy thing to do.
Yeah, like, Catastrophist is honestly, the song's a lot longer than it feels like it is, because it's pushing 7 minutes.
It does not feel that long.
For an opening single for a record, they release a 7 minute long song.
Yeah. But it's super solid, too. I feel like there's not, like, a whole heck of a lot to say about it, like,
it's very,
other than it's just so good to, like, listen to. I don't know.
It's a very straightforward Trivium song, and, like, there's that part where it kind of, like, builds up, and
that's it kind of like straightforward. Yeah,
it kind of cuts out there for a second. It's just Matt singing over the guitar, and then whenever it kicks back in, he has that really long note with a bunch of the vibrato in there, and it's just like, man, it's just showing what Trivium does best.
Yeah. Like, I love, like, the never had a chance, and then it goes like dun, 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 dun.
Definitely.
That's a good part in that. Right. And then next is Amongst the Shadows and the Stones. Just beat you over the goddamn head, dude. This song does not fuck around, okay?
Like, from the very first moment, there's no, like, build up, there's nothing. It's just from the very first note you hear, Matt is already in your face.
Yeah.
And then, dude, like, that's probably one of my top, if not my favorite song off the record, is Amongst the Shadows and the Stones.
It's a good one. It's not my favorite, though. I know for sure what my favorite song is.
It's just so nice how that the chorus is just so in your, it's just like, because it's not like, there's not like a solid riff to it. It's just like,
yeah. Dude, that, yeah.
And then, like, it just lets loose, and you're like, okay, this is what we're in for. And then, like, everything kind of, it doesn't, like, slow down, but everything comes more into, like, a flow. Yeah. And Matt starts singing over the verse, and it's like, okay, wasn't expecting that to go.
And the melody, too, in the actual singing part, because it is just so, like, oh.
Yeah.
Then it kicks into that melody, and it just works so well. Mm-hmm. Like, the singing actually really fits well with such a heavy song in a way that you might not expect. But my favorite moment on that song is when it kicks back into that, like, dun, dun, dun,
yeah,
dun, 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 dun. And then, in, like, it's like Amongst the Shadows and the Stars. And then it goes into the down, 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 down.
Yeah.
Like the breakdown kind of thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that is super good.
There's also a part that I really...
It's probably like 3/4 of the way into the song, right?
I really enjoy the song. Is basically, it's a part where everything just, like, is at this crucial high, and it just keeps going and going and going, and, like, everything stops, and you just get this quick little brief thing of, like, Alex going like a...
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, too.
You just hear fucking Paula's bass going... And as soon as he hits that low note, it all kicks right back in. I'm like, wow, that's probably one of the greatest, like, I don't know what to call it.
That's the part right before it goes, down, 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 down.
Yeah, it's like, it's literally right towards, like, the end of the song. Yeah.
Dude, that is a sick moment, you're right.
Yeah, I remember when I first came out, I first sent you the song, and then we were, I think what your reply back to me was, like, this may be the new Sever the Hand.
Yeah. No, you said that to me.
I'm pretty sure you said that first. I could be getting it reversed.
Maybe.
But either way, it just beats you over the head.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop. And track number 5 is Bleed Into Me.
This is a song that I didn't like for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sort of got into it. Like, there's just something about how, like, clearly you can hear Matt's voice in the very beginning.
Yeah.
God damn it.
And you did it.
I did.
You
I
did it.
Dude, I'm becoming an old man.
You fucking did it.
Oh, God.
You did it, guys. You burped while
dude,
talking.
And I've been cursed by George.
Yeah.
Because George told me that this would start happening, and then it did.
Well.
Anyway, go listen to The Half Hour Nerd. That's where you can find George and our good friend Joey.
If I
don't know if they're really recording much anymore.
I don't know, but if they
don't,
we're going to go beat them up and take their lunch
money. They
have
a huge backlog. We haven't been recording, though, either, to be fair.
But we also didn't have a backlog.
We need to do a crossover again.
Yeah.
But we need to have them on our show.
Yeah, we also need to, like, just record a shit ton so we have a backlog.
Yeah.
Hey.
Whatever. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But, yeah, Bleed Into Me. Again, really like how it is so clear how you can hear Matt's voice. It almost sounds like he's right next to you when he's singing in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And although it's like a bit of a more, I don't want to say soft, but like it's just not as heavy. It's like something like Amongst the Shadows and the Stones.
Yeah.
It does have like a really soulful kind of element to it that I do appreciate. And it took me a little time to really get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
I think one of my like the qualities I enjoy the most about this song is like how in the very beginning you just hear Paul's bass like that down, dead out,
yeah,
down, dead out, whatever the
down, down, down,
yeah,
down, down, down,
it's just such a clear like bass tone. And you know, Bleeding Me isn't definitely not the song like I go to, like, because generally when I'm starting the record, I generally just go to Amongst the Shadows and the Stones first, and then I go from there. But, like, I'll just shuffle around. But Bleed Into Me is not one I listen to a lot. But, like, I don't hate the song.
I used to not like it, and now I do. I don't skip over it, but I don't necessarily go right to it.
Yeah,
either,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Bleed Into Me,
but
solid,
it's solid
track, solid single. It's worth listening to.
I usually start right at number one, or I will just jump into What the Dead Men Say, and then kind of let it play from there.
Yeah.
And there, I guess there are times where I'll skip it, Bleed Into Me, because I kind of just need to be in the mood for it.
Yeah.
You know, because it does have a different mood than a lot of the other parts of the record.
It really does. Let's see here. Next, I know, is a very popular song. That is
The
Defiant.
That is my favorite song on this
record.
Let
me put this...
No cap, as the kids would say.
Let me put this very
am I allowed to say that since I, like, burp when I talk?
No cap? Sure. If you like Ascendancy era Trivium, you're gonna love The Defiant. The Defiant literally sounds like Ascendancy era Trivium.
But it sounds like Ascendancy era Trivium that like modern day Trivium covered. Because like there's just like the vocal quality that Matt doesn't like, I don't want to say that he doesn't have, but like he doesn't at least use anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like that more like aggressive kind of like singing, like the almost like Fry singing in a way.
Yeah.
Like Ascendancy and Shogun, he had there's an absolute distinction in his vocals.
Yeah.
From like that versus like, I would say right about In Waves is where he kind of started singing a little bit more with a clean.
Yeah,
vocal
I will say
style.
That you can definitely see the evolution between how the Ascendancy era screaming would become the Shogun era, but there's something just so utterly visceral about the just sheer tonality of Matt's screams on In Waves.
Yeah,
there's just something like it's, I don't know, that's the only word I can describe is visceral.
Yeah, I mean, I would say some of his greatest vocal moments in terms of screaming definitely come from In Waves. I would say, without, I know this is a whole nother different album we're talking about, but oh gosh, what is it now? Dusk Dismantled and A Skyline Severance. Like those are just like, I would point you to there if you want to know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, like there's like, literally like, because we've heard Matt here and there hit like some low notes.
Yeah.
Especially in like the bonus tracks of Shogun, but in like Dusk Dismantled where everything pops out and he just hits this disgusting guttural.
He really lays his nuts on the table, you know?
And then the Chapman Studios video in
From the Sky.
Well, Down from the Sky, but then there's that other one. That's not, is it Suffocating Sight? I want to say it's Suffocating Sight where it's like everything drops out and he's like talking. Oh, yeah,
maybe that's what it
and
is.
And he I don't know what to call it, but it was another one of the most disgusting screams I've heard this dude make.
Yeah, wait, Suffocating Sight.
Where like he just
panic, grips. He goes really low in the Chapman Studios. And I think he does it though in Suffocating or
Down from the Sky.
Down from the Sky too, where he goes like, where they usually say like obliterate, but it's like he does it like
obliterate. Yeah, like he's like hitting really low. It's like because Corey's like
guttural almost.
Yeah, yeah, it's. But yeah, definitely. Where were we?
We're just talking about Matt, other trivia.
Yeah, but yeah, the Defiant very much because like you also there's videos like they Matt and Alex wrote this song on stream.
Really?
Yeah, it was on stream because Matt will stream 5 times a week, 2 times a day on Twitch when he's home.
Yeah.
When he's on tour, it's 7 days a week, like 3 to 4 times a day. He'll live stream warm ups. He live streams their rehearsals. He live streams the entire shows. Every Trivium show he live streams for free. And so there was a warm up or an after. The show kind of thing where he was just messing around and he played a riff and Alex was just like tapping on his legs and chest and stuff, and that was the birth of the Defiant.
Dude, also I want to say the Defiant has my favorite lyrical content out of this whole record too, and the chorus is also super catchy and just like really like it's like a banner that everyone can stand under kind of feeling like, I stand in defiance of your ways. Like, it's just so good, dude. I don't know. The lyrics are awesome. I was playing Persona 5, too, at the time. And I was like, dude, like, the lyrics with this, like, make so much sense with Persona 5.
Yeah, I remember you texting me that. I'm just trying to pull
through. Literally a whole game about rebelling against society.
But yeah, that's definitely, like, there's some... I wish I could... Sorry, I'm doing the same damage. Dude,
yeah, but the vocal melody is so goddamn good. Yeah,
there's
just good.
There's some really great moments on.
I don't know. To me, it's the indisputable best song. But I also realize everyone has their opinion. Yeah, but
like the more often,
can't imagine ever having a different favorite.
I can guarantee because I remember watching Matt's streams that day between the stream we were watching earlier. Like, where he played through the entire album and just other stuff throughout the day. He was just, like, talking about it and asking people their favorite songs were. And I'll tell you, the most song I saw come up in the list of people mentioning was The Defiant. Like.
Dude, they hit it out of the park on that one. Like, I just don't know what else to say. Like, to me, it's like, if you're going to take away any song from this record, go listen to The Defiant for sure.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's one of those rare metal songs that transcends the genre a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm.
To where even people that might not necessarily like metal might like this song. Because it does have such a, like, melodious kind of vocal melody.
Yeah.
I realize I just kind of used the same word to describe itself. but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, there's also just a lot of things in Trivium lyrics that I think the world has been going through lately. There's a lot of Trivium lyrics about overcoming adversity and shit like that. And it's all over the place. The Trivium
I just don't want someone to like listen to The Defiant and then be like, I'm not going to wear a mask to Walmart now.
No, that's not what we're saying. Fucking wear your masks, you stupid piece of shit.
Dude.
All right.
Should we interrupt this podcast so that I could talk about that really quick? Because...
I don't think we should. We're going to get derailed. We'll save the topic.
Okay, we'll save the topic. Gosh.
Save the topic. Save the topic. Save the girl. Save the world. Save the cheerleader. Save the world. Whatever. All right.
What is that? What are you quoting?
Save the cheerleader. Save the world. Heroes.
Heroes.
Yeah, it's a show. Heroes?
Oh, with
Hayden Panettiere?
Dude, yeah.
Yeah. Save the Cheerleaders.
She's not even the main character and everyone knows just her. I don't even remember anybody else.
It's just her.
I literally don't remember anybody else. I don't even remember what she did or who she was. I just remember she was in it.
I just remember that line. Save the Cheerleaders, save the world.
That's an old show, dude.
Oh, it is.
And I don't like saying that it's an old show because it makes me feel old because it doesn't feel like that long ago.
That Euros was on. All right. The next track is Sickness Unto You.
This was and is a song that I just... I'm sorry. I know Matt Heafy and the rest of Trivium will probably never watch this podcast, but like I just can't get into this one, man. I don't know why. I want to like it, but I don't. I feel like there's just the lyrics get kind of corny, and I don't know.
I don't even care about the lyrics. Like, musically, the song is a beast.
I don't know. Maybe I should just... I've tried so many times, though, dude, to like the song, and I just don't. Mm-hmm. I just don't. That's me personally, though.
Yeah. This is probably one for a while is my go-tos. I would start with Sickness Unto You. It's either Amongst the Shadows and the Stones or Sickness Unto You, because like that whole like last half of the record after Sickness Unto You is just like boom, 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 boom.
There are good parts in Sickness Unto You. I will say that. It's
just like the whole, like it has like this kind of soft intro and kind of builds up and like just like the moments where it's just at its peak, and I'm hoping this isn't too like high. It should be fine. Okay, sorry, I had a panic attack there. that was a panic attack. I just got distracted for a moment and then panicked slightly. Okay, yeah, but basically, there's like the moments where
ooh, you hear that?
I did hear that, dude. I don't know if they heard that. Do you hear
ooh,
that? Have you heard that?
Talk another one. That.
Okay, so where basically I just like there's parts in the chorus where like. Yet again, it just sounds so nice where, like, where Matt starts, like, elevating or, like stretching out the vocal lines he's saying. And, like, to match that, they're throwing the tremolo picking and there's blast beats and stuff. It's just kind of, like, and it's just, I don't know. I enjoy it. There's, like, that weird little mathy part in the middle. All in all, besides that, there's not too much going on in the song, but there's just enough.
See, I almost disagree. I feel like there almost is too much going on in the song. But that's just me. Again, you know, like, I can see both sides of, you know, that opinion. But to me, it's like, it starts off kind of soft, and then it ends up picking up. But then, like, I don't know. It feels like they didn't know what direction to pick with Sickness Unto You.
Mm-hmm.
But that, again, is just me. You may listen to that song and love it. And if you do, that's fine. Like, I don't have anything against the song, necessarily. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I can't get into it. It's just me, personally.
It's fine. It's fine. All right. Scattering the Ashes.
I think we agree that this is amazing, though.
Yeah.
Like, this song is
Scattering
really
the Ashes is a wonderful song. I know... Matt mentioned something about it having to do with Corey, the other guitar player, and his father spreading his mother's ashes on their boat in Massachusetts or Maine or something like that, and it just being a very heartfelt thing. The lyrics are very heartfelt. Like, it's not a slow, like, it's got, it's evenly paced. It's not like softer, but it is definitely more mellow as compared to most other songs on this record. There, I think one of the shining moments, I think you'll agree with me on this, is like there's this part where it does, the music does kind of subdue a little bit, and even Matt, as the lead vocalist, does like a, he hits like a slower note and kind of like, will like pushes to the back a bit as the bass player, Paula, will come in, and he's hitting these highs that are like, and he just basically takes the lead position. And just that moment in itself, like, that one moment was enough for me to put this song to, like, the top of the list.
I do know what you're talking about. And I really also like that they did incorporate Paulo's vocals into this record. I believe they did it more than on just this
song. Oh, yeah, no, it's everywhere. I've only managed to find it a few times, but
it's more so, like, supporting vocals, from what I know. And, like, I didn't even know that it was him at first until, like, I listened to it, like, a few times. And then I was like, whoa, that's not Matt. That's Paulo. Mm-hmm. But Paulo's talented, man. Like, I mean, he took over for Matt when Matt was, you know, preoccupied with other things on their live tour.
Yeah.
Coronavirus.
Fuck, man.
Oh, we're dying.
We're dying. Yeah, but Scattering the Ashes, it's a wonderful song. I'm hearing Matt do it acoustically as wonderful as he's done it. It's on YouTube. I have not heard it,
so I'll have to listen to it.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's a very heartfelt song. I know I've listened to it multiple times, probably almost more than any other song on this record, just because of those moments. But solid.
Yeah.
Solid song. We're getting into the last two, and the last two are just fucking ruthless, man. The next song is called Bending the Arc to Fear.
I don't understand this song at all.
How so?
But I think it's awesome still. Like, I don't know what the lyrics are about.
Nah, I haven't.
I don't know what they're doing exactly with their instruments. But it's something, and it sounds pretty badass.
It's like, literally just, like, pure aggression.
Yeah. I mean, this is probably the most different Trivium song. I don't know how to describe it, because, you know, like, there's things like Dust Dismantled, where they obviously went in a very different direction. They went, really heavy, but, like, I can't put my finger on what this is.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many, like... Like, yeah, Trivium's been a band, especially recently, to incorporate more and more. I hate like bringing out the blast beat thing, but
yeah,
Trivium's been a band where they've done it.
Oh, now you're doing the whole band thing.
But all right, but they've done it here and there. But this song, I think, is the single song that has like the most like intricate, like more deathy drums on the entire record.
It could be that, because I know that Matt Heafy has been really into like death metal stuff lately.
Let me just all
in
the time.
Talks, in the works, wearing his cloak and dagger, talking to people like, hey, you want to do some death metal stuff with me sometime?
They finished tracking.
And so, yeah, and now there you have it. They finished tracking.
Yeah,
cause I didn't even know.
Well, yeah, because basically Matt let everyone know, like, on his, like, through streaming and stuff, that basically how Trivium and how they've been doing it is they will do, like, guitar, like, they'll do, like, scratch tracks for drums, and then, like, how most bands will record drums first, then guitar, then everything else. And they've been saving drums for last. Drums are the last thing they've been recording, because that way they can like have like a scratch track. They know where everything's going from the demos. So if they try to change anything, like the drums are the last thing, because the most expensive thing to record. So they've been saving drums for last. So they already have the main structures for the songs done. Well, Matt said they were going to do the same thing for Maritiu, which is his black metal record, and producing it was Ishan of Emperor. And so, Matt's been
sensible.
Yeah, Matt's been, like...
Well, this isn't a Trivium thing that they're doing, right?
No, this is Matt's...
A side project.
Yeah, this is Matt's side project called Maritiu. He's calling his black metal... It's his black metal band. If you don't know who Ishan is singer and guitar player of the band Emperor, and he's also has a side project
Ishan. Is he going to be on?
I think he is going to be on it.
Okay, that's what I thought was happening.
Yeah, Matt's also got, like, a bunch of other, like, big... people in the death metal world, like Nurgle from Behemoth, and
really,
yeah, and probably the dude from Gorgoroth, and a bunch of other people are all going to be on this record. So basically, Ishan, who's been like Matt's mentor over the past decade or so, has been producing the record, and Matt's been saying he's been finishing vocals, like recording vocals in the morning, and then he starts streaming for the day. And then I didn't get a chance to watch it, but they probably should be on if we want to check out some of the VODs later. But Alex Bent was live streaming his recording of the Maritiu drums. And so, through the same process, the drums have been finished for Maritiu. Or will be finished soon.
Man, I would really love to hear, like, a demo or something at least.
Yeah, this record
soon.
Was originally, I think, Nick Augusto was supposed to do drums for Maritiu.
Dude.
But since that falling out, Alex is doing drums.
God bless Nick Augusto still. Like, but, dude, that guy was so good.
But yeah, so That's definitely what the vibe I'm getting with Bending the Arc to Fear. It's very much like it's that kind of experimental, like...
Do we have any time frame? I know we're supposed to be talking about Trivium. Do we have a time frame on this?
On Meritiu? I don't know. It depends if it is, in fact, done. We don't know anything yet, I'm sure. I would say if it is done, we might see something a few months down the road from now. If not, 2021, we'll probably get it.
I want to just hear, like, a taste of it, you know,
yeah, at least. Yeah, just a little... I mean, I think we should definitely...
Like, what are we dealing with?
Definitely this, we should check out those VODs on Alex's channel and see if we can get anything.
Okay. So, yeah, Bending the Arch of Fear, I don't really know what the hell is going on here, but I like what I hear.
One of the things that stick out the most with Bending the Arch of Fear is, like, there's this part where it's like... or some shit like that. It's just...
Solid. It sounds like the Mario thing.
A little bit, yeah. But Bending the Arc to Fury, it's just straight. It's just fast, aggressive.
Or no, that's Donkey Kong, not Mario.
Is it? Yeah.
The original Donkey Kong, when you get a little umbrella or whatever, you pick up an item.
Yeah. There's not many other ways I can think of describe Bending the Arc to Fear. It's got some very mathy weird like stuff going on towards the end of it. Now that I'm thinking about it, because I can hear like the parts where Matt stops with like bending the arc to fear, and it's just
so do some cool stuff with that.
But yeah, now let's
and then the ones who we leave behind, I think that's a good track for them to close on. It's not my favorite though.
It's definitely
it's good.
This is another one of the songs where I heard Paulo's vocals on. I'm trying to pull up the lyrics right now, because it's very much, this is another one of the lyrics that Matt pointed out about coming up verse. Because I mean, it's still a very fast song. Like, it's maybe not as heavy as Bending the Arc to Fear, but it's fast. It's very much like, cause, I mean, the first few lyrics are, if you could break down and put yourself together, then would all the pieces ever fit the same? If you could see all the ways we're tied together, would you pull apart the ugliness and shame? It's all about basically just rebuilding yourself and making yourself better, and coming to terms that there's a bit of you you're gonna leave behind. No matter what you do, you're leaving a bit of, like, it's literally to the title of the ones we leave behind, is like, basically, if you're moving to put yourself in a better position, there's something that's gotta go. There's something that's not gonna be brought with you. And that's just a part of...
I do think the lyrics are really pretty solid. I think it's just the chorus that I don't know if I'm, like, super into the like, melody of it and everything. I don't know.
There's a part where he pointed out, and I think that Matt pointed out, I think this is it. It's like, if we could break through the structures built between us, then would all the fault lines simply disappear? If we could fight back and bring ourselves together... then our sacrifices will not be in vain. I know he pointed it out recently when, like, you know, we've all, like, besides, like, the whole COVID thing, and we're getting into a very touchy time here in America with, obviously, shit is not where it should be. And that's kind of what he's pointing out, is, like, the fact that there are so many... things built between everyone, like structure, so to speak, like dividing people, that really we need to overcome and get rid of, and actually accept the fact that we are all human beings, and we all need to respect and like accept one another. Like, that's been a message he's been... He's... A lot of that stuff, like, it hasn't been as prevalent.
I mean, he's been preaching that shit since...
Very early on.
What's it called? Crusade, man.
Like, I mean, before that, on, Ascendancy, songs like A Gunshot to the Head of Trepidation.
That's true, yeah.
And even a little bit of Pull Harder, but, like, especially A Gunshot to the Head of Trepidation, those lyrics are very much...
I didn't
much,
even think about that.
...are very much about, like... That one was, like, that song was centered amongst abuse, but it's very much... He's still saying, hey, with shit's fucked up, we need to do something about it.
Yeah. I think, though, that, the reason the Crusade came to mind is because most of that album really is a, like, just pointing out things that are going wrong, like very specifically.
Yeah, like songs like Tread the Floods, Contempt Brings Contamination.
Yeah.
And
there's another big one too.
Yeah, but very much so. It was very much more prevalent on the Crusade.
Yeah. But which is one of their best records, in my opinion, now. I used to rate it very lowly.
Yeah, Crusade is a record that very much, like, it's...
It's the most thrash metal record, for sure, in my opinion.
I mean, because Matt doesn't, like... He's pointed this before in his live streams that he doesn't... He thinks all of his records are good records, but he understands. Like, he goes, they got so much, like, praise and acceptance with Ascendancy that they were very rebellious, and he was like, we're just going to go and do the opposite thing. And they made the Crusade. And that didn't really go over too well. And they're like, they're not... Yeah, they did the same thing with, like, I think he said between, like, Vengeance Falls and Silence in the Snow, where they were like, we're gonna, like, fucking sideline everyone.
Yeah.
And just... That's just what we did.
Vengeance Falls just simply was not a hit for me. But, dude, the Crusade, now that I've gone back and listened to it...
Yeah.
Whole new respect for it. Like... Yeah. It became one of my lowest, like, most least favorite records there to one of my favorites.
Yeah, when you get past all, like, there are so many, like, very good, thoughtful songs on that record. Like, I don't remember the name of it, but there's a song about this woman who got convinced that her children were possessed by Satan, so she fucking drowned them.
Yeah.
And... I think one of my
isn't that that's not Contemporary's Contamination.
No, that's not Contemporary's.
I'll look it up real quick.
That is Entrance of the Conflagration.
Yes, Entrance of the Dude, that song is so good.
Yeah, and then another one of my favorites is like a bonus track, fucking Broken One. Broken One is probably one of the greatest songs from the Crusade era, minus fucking Becoming the Dragon and To the Rats.
Okay, Becoming the Dragon is just so obvious. But, in Sadness Will Sear.
Yeah.
That is one of my favorites as well.
Unrepentant isn't a good one.
Sadness Will Sear is about the kid that was, tied to the fence and, like, left to die for being gay.
Yeah, and Unrepentant is, basically this guy had heard that
he killed all of his daughters because one of them didn't marry the man he wanted her to.
Or something like that. Something he was, like, accused of, like, raping them or something, so he literally, like, butchered all of his daughters.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the Crusade is a very... It's, like, when you get through all the thrash metal layers and, like, the fast tempos and everything, it's a very dark record, like, musically. Yeah. Like, there are a lot of, like... The most popular song on the record is obviously Becoming the Dragon.
Yeah.
But even that song is about adversity in itself.
Yeah, that's one of the best songs in general
because of lyrical context. Hidden through so many metaphors, and no one realizes how much it is about adversity.
Well, it's about facing and overcoming adversity.
Yeah. Like, in the terms of the...
Because the Nishikigoi was just a fish that, like, no wave can shatter these scales is one lyric that always sticks out to me in that one. And then he... just went against those waves that wanted to beat him down and leapt over the waterfall and became a dragon. And then at the end of the song where it says, what is it? I bear witness to a burning form.
Yeah.
Transformation is complete. And then, like, watch the world move according to each desire.
Yeah, because basically he's a fucking dragon.
Evolution is complete, a breath that turns into clouds producing rain or fire. Watch the world moving according to each desire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this dragon will rise and be king.
Gives me chills, dude.
Yeah. Fucking, so many great fucking songs. But yeah, all in all, What the Dead Men Say, fantastic.
So much praise for other records on this review.
But still.
Yeah.
What the Dead Men Say is a fantastic record. Go listen to it. It's a 46 minute long record, so about standard length.
Yeah, maybe? It's not too terribly long or anything. It's nothing ridiculous.
Yeah, go check it out. I know they live streamed a bunch of stuff. I know Matt's, there's a videos on YouTube of Matt playing through the record, teaching you the record if you want to learn how to play it.
Let me do one thing really quick.
What's
and
up?
Let's give if anyone listening or watching wants to check out a couple songs, me and Trevor will each pick, let's just say two.
Okay.
What do you pick?
Oh man. I think let me hear your two, because I don't wanna.
Okay. Sorry. Well, for me it's the Defiant.
Ooh, sorry.
Is number one. Mm-hmm. Like, you gotta listen to the Defiant. It's just so good. And then I would say number two, I'm gonna pick one of the singles and say Catastrophist.
Okay. Because I was like, I wanted to pick something more out there, but...
Because I feel like that will... Those two will whet your appetite enough to want to listen to the rest.
Yeah. I think my two that I'm going to go with are Amongst the Shadows and the Stones.
If you like heavy, yeah. Or, like, just really aggressive.
Yeah.
At least.
Amongst the Shadows and the Stones and Scattering the Ashes.
Yeah. Those are amazing picks,
too. Nine and Scattering the Ashes were... If you've played Mortal Kombat and you've watched the Spawn reveal trailer... Nine and Scattering the Ashes were the songs in that trailer.
I did not know that.
Yep. That's...
I learned something new.
Yeah, so definitely. Yeah, my picks are Amongst the Shadows and the Stones, because that's just such a... It's in your face, and it gets you, like... It sets the tone for basically, this is the trivium you're getting. And it's basically the two polar opposites. You get probably one of the heaviest songs on the record, if not the heaviest... And the one of the more most mellow song on the record.
Yeah.
Scattering the Ashes.
Yeah. Very diverse picks then. I think those together as four would make a really good.
Yeah, nice little like EP or single.
Yeah.
Single docket. It's like here's a taste of what you're getting. And it's a 10 song record. It's not like it's not a Dream Theater record, right? You're not getting, like, eight songs that are...
You're not getting four songs that are each 30 minutes long.
Yeah, you're getting 10 songs that are, like, 5 to 6 minutes long, if that. Well, I mean, not even that.
A lot of threes and fours.
A lot of threes and fours. It's four, so... Trivium, What the Dead Men Say, out of five, what do you give it?
I'm giving it, are we doing it by points, or are we just doing whole numbers?
Just whole numbers. You can do points if you want to do points.
I'm giving it... Let's do out of 10.
Out of 10, okay.
Let's do out of 10 and then do whole numbers.
Okay.
We'll do Anthony Fantano style.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm going to give this record a light 7.
A light 7? I'm going to give it a solid 8. Solid 8.
Solid 8.
Solid 8. It's just... It dominated so much. Like, because I know... I was really excited for the Black Dahlia record that came out around the same time, but it's just this record that came out, I think it even came out.
It just overtook your life.
I think it even came out like a week before Dahlia, and it just like, I'm like, okay, I have a week until Dahlia comes out, I'll be fine. It just literally got to the point.
I couldn't
stop listening to this record.
Yeah. I was the same way.
It's literally like, it's to the point now where I'm like, okay, I can pick up and put it down. It's like none of the songs have grown stale on me, and I binged the shit out of this record.
Yeah, this song is definitely a green and not a yellow or a red for me. You know what I mean? So when I say light 7, I mean it's definitely good. And I like it.
You got your points of contention, but it's like, you're like, it's not stopping me from listening to it.
And I still listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like listening to it on the way home, and we were listening to it earlier. But yeah. What the Dead Men Say...
Dude, we should do our outro just like Anthony Fantano and be like, it's been Joe and Trevor with Running on Empty.
We didn't even intro. We just started talking.
Running on Empty. And then we'll be like, Trivium, What the Dead Men Say, forever.
And then just end
it there.
Yeah, so that's it.
But we're not actually going to do that, because we're going to do a couple plugs really quick.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, it's been a while. Is our merch store still working?
Who knows?
I don't know. If it is, go do it.
You can give me a follow with the magic point of your finger on your cell phone on Twitter at ROE Tengu. And you can also follow us at ROEorg on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And you can follow Trevor if you want, but he doesn't ever tweet.
I should, though. I gotta get back in. I'll be better. I'll be better if someone follows me in the next...
You can also use this finger to click the like button or subscribe to us. Or you can click it and then start using your other fingers and typing into the comments section, which was moved from down below to like just a little bit.
The middle
section. Just a little bit below.
A little bit below. Did someone, all right, make you a deal. When this goes up next Wednesday, not this Wednesday, next Wednesday, if I see one new follower,
you'll be like happy or yeah. Like what? What are you gonna do? Give him a t-shirt?
I'll tweet more.
We'll give you a t-shirt, but it may not necessarily be a t-shirt that you like.
We'll give you the t-shirt Jay's wearing.
That would be awesome.
Straight off his back. We're not even gonna wash it.
Straight off my back.
He will wear it and hand it to you.
We'll give you Gamer Girl bathwater.
Yeah, or like Joe's bath. Can we give you? We'll give you Dalton's bathwater. How about that,
dude? That's gross. You're grounded.